Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Right now we want to bring in Professor Larry Jacobs from the University of Minnesota and American political history, elections, voting behavior, and more. Larry, always good to visit with you. It is a lovely day.
It is. I'm actually on my back porch just indoors, but enjoying the outdoors.
Yeah, it is a tremendous day. That bright blue sky, the leaves are turning here in the Twin Cities area. It is just outstanding. The leaves are falling in my yard. The ash trees are just about done, so I certainly have chores to attend to later on in the day. We are getting close. Election Day is coming up rapidly. It's hard to believe. It is just around the corner.
It is, and we, of course, have had millions of Americans who are voting, millions and millions who've put their ballots in the mail. A week from Tuesday, the mailed-in ballots in Minnesota will be open and started to be counted. So we are well into the elections. It's no longer just speculation. It's happening.
And there are a number of options. We have talked in the past that there are a ton of options. People can certainly vote in person on Election Day, November 3rd, like they always have. But there are early voting options, particularly here in the state of Minnesota, that are convenient. For instance, I live up in the northern suburbs, and my city in particular moved their in-person voting from the city hall to the local ice arena, so there's more room and people can social distance, etc. But there are early voting options all over the state.
Minnesota traditionally leads the country in voter turnout, and I don't think it's going to be any different than that. I was up north doing some fishing not that long ago, and I saw Trump signs everywhere. I have a hunch that we're going to see huge turnout up north, and in the Twin Cities, we're seeing huge turnout. We can see that already.
Yeah, there is a lot of passion that goes without saying, and there continues to be a barrage of big, big stories. A weekend ago, everyone was concerned about President Trump and his health, the fact that he was hospitalized at Walter Reed with COVID-19. He returned to the White House amid much fanfare, and now is hosting a public event today at the White House. So President Trump gets COVID-19, spends a weekend in a hospital, had to come off the campaign trail. He's trying to restart that campaign. But the big question is, and we discussed this earlier in the week, can Trump recover because the polling numbers aren't favorable?
You know, I would say the president certainly has a chance to recover and win, but I would say it's kind of 2 out of 10 chances. I mean, people's vote attitudes have hardened. Here's the best way to put it, I think. If you go back to the 2016 election, Donald Trump won because he punctured what was known as the blue wall, which was Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin. And those states are all solidly Biden with 7-point leads or more than that. The president hoped to take down Minnesota in 2020, but he's far behind. He's even further behind in Minnesota. And here's the telling part. The president is pulling his ad money from Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan. So you can see that the president himself, whatever he says, his behavior is telling us he sees the writing on the wall. And then look, where was Joe Biden this week? Where was he campaigning? He was campaigning in Republican territory, Florida, Arizona, Nevada. Joe Biden was in Texas, and they're putting lots of ad money in addition to having the president and the potential first lady out in that Republican area.
And when we go back to 2016, though, the president's supporters and those that don't believe in the polling numbers say it showed that Hillary Clinton was going to win comfortably. What's different in 2020, Larry?
Well, I think that's, you know, it's an understandable kind of view. But I think actually if you go back and you look at the polls, they were very close to the 3 million vote majority that Hillary Clinton had at the end. This year, unlike in 2016, the polls have been very steady and pretty consistent, showing Joe Biden with a lead somewhere between 5 and 10 points in these critical states. Now, you look at Arizona, that's going up and down a little bit, Ohio, but those are Donald Trump states that he never expected to be fighting for. The key states that Donald Trump needs to win, and I would say the pivot, is probably Pennsylvania. He's down by 7 points.
Professor Larry Jacobs is joining us from the University of Minnesota today. Election Day is coming up. Trump struggling in the polls. What impact could that have down ballot? Senate seats all over the country. This is a huge item, the balance of power in the Senate. Right now, the Republicans hold the Senate. It looks like they have the votes to confirm Amy Coney Barrett to the Supreme Court. But the power or the balance of power in the Senate is certainly up for grabs November 3rd.
It sure is. And I think, you know, there is a good chance that the Democrats are going to take the Senate as well. Here's one of the main patterns we started to see over the last decade or so, which is our elections are nationalized. What is happening in the presidential race or national politics is driving how voters are casting their ballots when you get to the state and local level. And we've seen this 2010 when Republicans, the Tea Party, did so well in the midterm election, just swept across the country. Well, we're seeing something like that, at least so far, and again, I say so far, in 2020. Look at Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell, who is the majority leader, the Republican majority leader in the U.S. Senate, he is now clearly putting distance between himself and the president. The president has been talking about putting through another stimulus bill. And Mitch McConnell said, no, we're going to do that maybe after the election. Mitch McConnell wants all the attention on the Supreme Court nominee of Barrett. Why? To get attention away from the coronavirus, which is killing Republicans.
Talking politics, Professor Larry Jacobs from the University of Minnesota, good enough to join us today. We talked about President Trump trailing in the polls. Before we talk what's going on here in Minnesota and the impact potentially down ballot, not only for the Senate race, congressional races, but the state legislature and control of that. A little bit more about the debates. This is still very much up in the air, and there's a tug of war. Larry, what are your thoughts? Will we see another presidential debate between now and Election Day?
Maybe. The debate that was supposed to happen this coming week was canceled by the debate commission. And the tug-of-war there was that the commission said the debate should be done virtually because of President Trump's coronavirus illness and the uncertainty about whether he's still contagious. And so that's called off. But there is still one more debate that's scheduled, and that may still happen. To be honest with you, I think the president needs these debates far more than Joe Biden. Joe Biden is like, you know, a basketball team. That's the Timberwolves being ahead by 10 points in the fourth quarter with 5 minutes left. You're going to go into a stall. You're going to try to slow things down, get a good shot, not rush the shot, but take the full 24-second clock. And that's what Joe Biden's doing. He's kind of touring the country. He's talking about unity, which everyone supports that, and the coronavirus. And that's pretty much it. He won't talk about other things. So the president needs these debates. It's unclear if it's going to happen. I think the question is, will there be that third presidential debate, which would be in 2 weeks' time?
All right, to what's going on here in Minnesota. The Senate race, Tina Smith, Jason Lewis, polling numbers show Smith in front. Tell us more about that race, what you see.
Well, I think Jason Lewis hasn't been able to break through, and the president's poor polling numbers in Minnesota, the fact that he's behind, is a drag on Jason Lewis. If the president was doing better, I think Jason Lewis would be doing better. So at this point, we're not seeing much money coming in for Jason Lewis. He actually is in quarantine. This race looks like it's heading for a win for Tina Smith.
Now, what about the congressional seats around the state? Here in the Twin Cities, we're seeing a lot of media buys. Colin Peterson against Colin Peterson. Michelle Fischbach. I mean, that is very contentious. There's a lot of money in that one.
So if you look at the northwest area of Minnesota, this is an area that's become solidly Republican. And there's one exception to it. Colin Peterson, the Democrat, who has been serving that district and a powerful figure in Congress in steering agricultural aid to Minnesota and that district. So he's been able to hold on, but over the last three or four elections, he has faced very competitive races within 5 points. Now he's up against Senator Fischbach, who's well-known in the district and maybe the best shot to knock off Colin Peterson. So, yes, I think that's a race that's getting a lot of national money and a lot of national attention.
Is there any other congressional race in the state that stands out that could change hands, or are we maybe expecting status quo?
Well, I think there are two other races. One is in the South, the 1st Congressional District, the Hagedorn won. He's a Republican. He won it by one of the closest races in the country. Feehan, the Democrat, has come on strong, lots of money going in there. The sense is if this is a Democratic year, that could be enough to push Feehan across the finish line. There's also been some controversy around Hagedorn that's put, you know, a bit of a shade on his candidacy. Then you've got the 2nd congressional district that's held by the DFL, Angie Craig. The big issue there is whether that race is going to happen. Because one of the major party candidates representing the marijuana party died, and state law seems to suggest that, therefore, the race should be a special election. In February, federal court just stepped in this week and said, no, let the election go forward, and the Republicans are appealing it. So that's up in the air. It would be much better for Craig if it was held now when there's a huge Democratic turnout.
Big picture. Any chance that the Democrats could strengthen their hold on the House of Representatives in Washington?
Well, I think the state House races, and here would be the question I'd have for you. Have you seen much coverage in the media about these state House races?
Yeah, no, not really, because there's just been so much coverage of what's happening with the president's visit to Minnesota, the fallout of that, but in general, no.
Yeah, exactly. And so voters are just getting all this information and are all charged up about the national election. And they're going to look, I think, at the state House races from the perspective of what they've been hearing about the national election. And for voters who are going in voting Democrat, they may well do a straight ticket. And that would be a real problem for some Republicans. Now, the majority in the House is held by the Democrats. The challenge for the Democrats is that they've been in the minority in the Senate. If the Democrats are able to kind of get this wave that gives the Democrats majority in the House and in the Minnesota Senate, then I think you're going to see a pretty progressive agenda pushed. You've got the DFL in control of the governor's house with Tim Walz, and then you've got the DFL in the House and the Senate. That is going to be a magic trick for DFLers who have been really blocked over the last few years.
And that could mean big, big changes going forward if they control the House, the Senate, and the governor's mansion as well. And then quickly, before we let you go, I want to jump back to national politics for a moment. We talked about the presidential race, the fact that the Senate is clearly in play, the balance of power there. Can the Democrats, though, in Congress, extend their lead in the House of Representatives? How do you see that playing out?
Yeah, the Democrats have a pretty sizable, they have a nice majority now. I think they will add to it, but they're also going to be reaching the, you know, limits of what they can do. Democrats would like to see control over the state houses so that they can push through redistricting plans that would allow them to expand their majority in the Congress and also in the state houses. The key issue there is the Democratic vote tends to be lopsided. They win by big margins, particularly in the urban areas, whereas Republicans are much more efficient with their vote. They win by like 10, 11, 12 points. And that allows them, because their voters were spread out more evenly, they can win more districts. Democrats would like to start playing that game too.
All right. Well, we are getting very close indeed. A lot to keep an eye on between now and Election Day. And as always, Larry, good to visit with you. Enjoy the day.
Yes, you too. Thank you.
All right, there he is, Larry Jacobs, professor, University of Minnesota.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.